is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
Gordon Chang, my colleague and co-host at Gordon G. Chang. Taipei Times, Taiwan in these last days. PLA activity, abnormal, ministry says. The Defense Ministry of Taiwan says that it had detected 24 Chinese People's Liberation Army Air Force planes entering Taiwan's air defense zone over the previous 24 hours. This dates to the weekend. The Minister of National Defense says that this is abnormal. That's a quote. We go immediately to our guide on Taiwan, Steve Yates. Steve has been watching this for many years, and therefore patterns emerge over a long period of time. Steve is now chair of the America First Policy and Institute's China Policy Initiative. Steve, do I put this down to training getting crowded in the sky or purposeful message sending? Good day to you.
Hello, John. Well, I would put this definitely in the category of purposeful and message sending, in that the sheer numbers and frequency of this kind of encroachment is well outside of the normal pattern of what's been done over many, many years. It has a very clear intent to normalize this in the eyes of everyone, including observers in Taiwan, the United States, Japan, elsewhere, so that the time and distance between some kind of an exercise and a form of attack is shorter, much more difficult to respond to. And so I think it's quite provocative. I think it's very difficult for Taiwan to figure out how to respond to this, because the reflexive advice from the West, the international community, and the United States government is to keep calm and preserve the status quo. But what the very definition of the recent PLA activity is changing the status quo.
Gordon, you have a question for Steve.
Steve, I know there's no answer that we can have for sure, but do you think that this is preparation for a war in the intermediate or near future? Or do you think this is just huffing and puffing?
Well, it's definitely the huffing and puffing, but that could easily lead to the other scenario. I think that what they're doing is for sure measuring response politically, militarily, otherwise, trying to put pressure on governments to sue for peace with Beijing. They know that there's an election in Taiwan. There's a long history of trying to give some kind of coercive influence to Taiwan voters, largely seen by people like me as being counterproductive, but it's kind of what they do. So it fits in those ways. But I think this is increasingly dangerous, the sheer scale of it and the geographic proximity of these encroachments around the island and getting closer and closer, I think gets closer to an attack. I would say within the 5 to 10 range of years at the very least, and potentially much sooner.
Gordon, you have highlighted on Twitter a tweet from Tom Shugart showing the ferry landing at Fujian, which you tell me is across the Taiwan Strait from Taiwan itself. What am I to make of this tweet, Gordon? It's suggestive that there's something going on at the ground level that could support an invasion.
Well, Steve has just talked about unprecedented moves. Well, this certainly fits within that category, because Fujian province is right across from Taiwan. And really what we're seeing are movements of troops and equipment in Fujian province getting to the coast, which is indicative of at least a rehearsal for a war, and also the loading of vessels. And now they've moved beyond just military transports to practicing with civilians. So apparently they're worried that if Taiwan or the United States or whatever takes out China's transports, that they can then move to China's civilian craft, which very big, very large fleet.
Steve, you've seen this same tweet. Have you seen anything like this before? It reports the guess by Tom Shugart is they're doing offload ops for a PLA operation exercise of some sort. Anything like this in the history, Steve?
There have been these onload, offload kind of exercises. I think it's scale and proximity that is different this time. And I also think that they're just in a phase where the United States government has to decide whether we're going to, as a matter of policy, oppose an invasion or an attack by China. If so, we need to go back to the way it used to be of putting pressure on Beijing that not only do they need to have a declarative policy of peace, they need to move these things away or we cannot have normal trade or normal relations with them. I think it's very much in that zone right now.
Gordon, the general thinking is that Xi Jinping is a Maoist and a nationalist, or at least will take advantage of nationalism, and that a conflict with Taiwan would satisfy the doubts about his sovereign reign. Now, that's a general theory. Does that apply to these circumstances, Gordon?
It certainly does. And you can add a gloss on that, and that is that China is suffering severe domestic crises, one right after the other. Xi Jinping has no answer for this. Matter of fact, his solutions are aggravating various situations. So his only real option to the failure of the Communist Party is a diversionary war. A lot of people think that China won't do that. But as Steve's pointed out, these preparations are very much of concern, and the Biden administration is not reacting appropriately to this.
Steve, you have very good ears on Washington. I know that right now the melodrama is something about the budget and shutdown, but is the parts of the national security apparatus that are watching Asia, do they see this? How do they interpret it to your understanding?
Well, I think that there is a new awareness that this problem is beyond the control they thought they had with the old policy of strategic ambiguity, with normalized trade and other kinds of longstanding policy. So they've sort of awakened to the need for something new, but they're struggling to settle into what that something new is and on a timeline that can matter. They've tinkered at the edges on deterrence to help Taiwan with military sales, but in the millions where China's moving in the billions. And I see movement in the Select Committee on outbound investment controls and other things. But these are things that needed to be done years ago if a conflict is near term. So I see some signs of life, but a long way to go before we're ready for what may be in the offing sooner than we'd like.
Gordon, you have a question for Steve.
Steve, you mentioned China's attempts to influence the Taiwan electorate. They've got a presidential election January 13th of next year. William Lai, the vice president of the Democratic Progressive Party, has a very healthy lead, which has been at double digits at some time. The pro-China camp, if we can call it that, is split even further with the introduction of a third candidate. How is China looking at this, and how are the people in Taiwan reacting to China's moves?
Well, I think, unfortunately, a lot of people in Taiwan have become normalized to the threat. And everyday life is not necessarily affected by the encroachments by air and by sea around Taiwan. They see it in the news. And when it's election season, there's often bluster that comes from the Chinese side of the strait. For now, I think that the divided field in opposition to the Democratic Progressive Party almost makes this a no contest for the presidential race, but very much still a contest in the legislature. So the question is, does Taiwan have a divided government that is perhaps less effective going into the next 4 years, or does it have a more unified government that Xi Jinping actually could, in a backwards way, strengthen with these threats? And you have to ask, is that what Xi Jinping wants, because he thinks that sets up a fight?
Steve Yates, chair of the America First Policy Institute's China Policy Initiative. Gordon Chang, I'm John Batchelor.